Hello, praise the Lord, glory to God. Welcome to our Reaching for the Hem teleclass sponsored by the Hem of His Garments School of the Spirit. I am so glad that you have taken the time out to come out and join us this evening. Each time we have a class, we have new people that come and join us, and I just feel so blessed that you have taken this time out, because I believe it's so key for each of us to really take time out for ourselves to come in and learn more of the Lord. You know, we can get so caught up in our day-to-day lives, you know, in going to work and in serving people and doing different things and caring for the family and all these different things that we do on a daily basis. We can get so caught up in those things, and those things are important, but there is nothing more important than our relationship with God. You know, I'm always brought back to Mary and Martha, and how Martha was going around doing all these things, and she was doing them for the Lord. She was preparing that dinner for the Lord. She was getting everything ready for Him. But it was Mary who realized the importance of sitting at the feet of her Savior, of just sitting at His feet and learning more of Him and listening to Him speak to her and learning His ways and His heart towards her. And sometimes we just get so caught up in the doing that we forget to just sit and just learn of the Lord and sit and think about Him and about His love for us. You know, sometimes we talk about Christian meditation. What does it mean to meditate? Really, it just means to sit and just allow your mind to be stayed on the Lord, to be totally focused on the Lord, to just push out any distractions from your mind and just to sit and think about His goodness, sit and think about His love towards you. You know, I love to just pick a scripture and just roll that scripture over and over in my mind, whether it's, you know, it could be something as simple as, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Something so simple as that, for us to just sit and think about that. Wow, God so loved the world. You know, He so loved me. And just rolling that over and over in our minds. You know, it's so important for each of us. I have to remind myself this all the time, that it's so important for me to just stop and just remember that He's worthy. Just stop and just remember that He loves me. Just stop and just remember how much I love Him and how worthy and awesome He is, regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of what's going on in the world. You know, I have to, especially, you know, here in the United States, for those of us who are in the U.S., we just got finished with an election, and there were all these elections and all these, you know, every time you turn on the television, someone was telling you to vote for this or don't vote for that, or vote for me or don't vote for him. And it's just so much chaos. You know, sometimes you can feel like you're just surrounded by chaos, but in the midst of the Lord, there is peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I'm glad that we can come and just learn about Him and learn about His ways, so that we can learn to put His ways above our own ways. And so we are here today, and we're going to be talking about how when we mix prayer and faith, we're able to unleash the power of the Lord. And if you have not printed out your note sheet, just go ahead. You should see a link on the webpage that if you're doing the webcast, you can do this. I know there are a lot of you that are listening in by phone as well. And so if you're listening in by phone, then just go ahead and just grab a sheet of paper or something like that, just so you can take some notes as we go. That's always the teacher in me, since that's my training. I'm always reminding everyone to take notes, because it's so important. You know, we only remember such a small amount of what we hear, but when we write things down, God's able to bring us back to those notes. I always think it's so amazing when I go back and just read over notes that I took at different conferences and different things that I've been through or been to, and I just think, wow, you know, I forgot that God had even revealed that to me, because a lot of the things that you'll find yourself writing down won't even be things that I said, but just things that, you know, I might say something and God will say something else to you that's related to something I've said, and then you can just write that thing down. So, you know, a lot of times God will use other people to just kind of spark a thought in your mind that is specifically for you. And we need to write those things down so that we can come back to them. Before we go any further with today's lesson, let's just go ahead and take some time and go before the throne of the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you, and each of us is here for that very reason. Each of us is here because we love you, because we want to love you more. Maybe we just met you. Maybe we're just getting to know you. Maybe we've known you for years and years. But regardless of where our relationship with you currently is, Lord, we know that you can take us deeper, that you can take us to even a deeper, more abiding place in you, that we can get to know you on even a more intimate level. And Lord, we recognize that prayer is a huge part of us learning to have a deep relationship with you. Communication is the backbone of any relationship, and the way that we communicate with you is through prayer. And so, Lord, we ask that you will speak through me and that you will also speak directly to each of your children that are sitting here, Lord. Each of us have come for something specific, and you know what our need is. You know what we need to know, Lord. And so we ask that you will speak to us as individuals, that you will guide each of us into a special relationship with you, a relationship that fills that void that you have placed in us. We know that there is a God-sized hole inside each of our hearts, and Lord, we ask that you will help us to fill that hole with you so that we'll no longer have to reach outside of ourselves to try to fill that hole up, but that we will be full and whole and complete in you. Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify you, and we praise your holy name. And we know that you said where two or more are gathered, that you are there in the midst. And Lord, we are much more than two. But there are many of us from across your great world sitting and listening and desiring more of you. And so, Lord, we know that you can transcend space and time, and that you can just send your Holy Spirit to abide with each of us right where we are, that you are that great and that grand, and that it is your desire to be amongst your people, for you came to be Emmanuel, God with us, and we receive that today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. And, you know, sometimes I know we can all go through so many different things on a daily basis, and sometimes we ask ourselves, you know, is God really with me? You know, we hear Emmanuel, God with us, and we wonder, is God really with me? If he's with me, why do I feel so alone? But I'm here to tell you today that you are not alone, but that God is with you. He said that he will never leave you or forsake you. And so that is a promise, and he's not making that promise just to somebody else, but that promise is for you personally. And we have to begin taking God's promises and making them personal for us. You know, God didn't just make those promises for the pastor. He didn't just make those promises for the worship leader. He didn't just make those promises for the television evangelist that you saw on TBN earlier today. But those promises are for you. They are personal promises from a loving father to you, his child. And one of the ways that we receive those promises and begin to walk in those promises is developing a relationship with God through prayer. You know, we started a week or so ago in the School of the Spirit, we started a new class on prayer, and the reflection scripture that I chose for that class might have been kind of odd for some people because I didn't choose a reflection scripture that was related to prayer. But I chose the scripture about seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when we seek the kingdom of God first, all of those other things, those other desires of our hearts will be added unto us. You know, a lot of people might say, well, what does that have to do with prayer? I'm just going to go back and I'm going to read that scripture. And God's word says, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. You know, sometimes when we think about prayer, we just think about, you know, asking God to fulfill our needs. And we really have to ask ourselves in our prayer life, you know, your prayer life really reveals a lot about you. And a lot of us don't think about this, but really our prayer life really reveals our heart. Because what we want most, those are the things that we're going to go to God with, right? We're not going to go to God with the things that don't really matter to us typically until we've developed a really good relationship with Him, and then we'll talk to Him about everything. But usually, the things that we're going to Him about are the things that matter the most to us. And so when we examine our prayer life, we're really able to examine our priorities. And so when we look at our prayer life, we can ask ourselves, am I seeking God first? Am I really seeking first the kingdom of God, or am I seeking first the things of this world? And I really want to pose that question to you and really challenge all of us to ask ourselves, to really examine our prayer lives and ask ourselves, you know, am I constantly saying, Daddy, I need, Daddy, I want, gimme, 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 you know, treating God like our own personal genie in a bottle? Or am I taking the time to seek God and saying, Lord, change me, make me more like you? Lord, reveal any area within me that is displeasing to you, because more than anything, I want to make you happy. Daddy, I love you. Help me to hear your voice more clearly so that I can walk the path that you have set before me the way that is pleasing to you. You know, what do we spend most of our time praying about? And that will really reveal to us our true priorities. Well, let's go ahead and get into some of these questions that people have sent in about prayer. We're going to start with question number one. If you have your note sheet, we're going to start with question number one, which some of you are thinking, of course you're starting with question number one, but if you've been with us for a couple classes, you know, sometimes I jump around. I don't always start with question number one, so I do have to specifically say I'm starting with question number one today. And question number one, can you hear me now? How do I pray to God when I feel like my prayers are just bouncing off of the walls? You know, this is such an interesting question. I've actually received similar questions from people, from lots of different people, and I think really the heart of this question is why do we sometimes feel as if our prayers are bouncing off the walls? You know, where does that come from? You know, is God hearing us? Why do we feel like He can't hear what we're saying? And I think one of the main reasons that we feel that way is that we don't have the intimacy with God that we need to anchor our prayers. What do I mean by that? You know, have you ever tried to have a conversation with a stranger, you know, to just walk up to someone and just start talking to them? I mean, it's going to feel very uncomfortable, right? It's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to feel relaxed. You're going to feel kind of, you know, odd just going up to someone that you don't really know. Even if, you know, if it's an acquaintance and you kind of know them but not really, you know, you might go up to talk to them, but you're going to feel uncomfortable asking them a favor, you know, asking them to do something for you. Why? Because you don't really have that type of a connection with them. You don't really know them like that. And I think that's part of the issue of why people sometimes feel as if God's not listening to them. They feel like God doesn't really hear them. And it's because, you know, we don't have the relationship with Him that we need in order to feel comfortable going to Him. Because really, believing that God hears our prayers is really a matter of faith. And that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about faith and prayer. Because if you have one without the other, you're really not going to get as far. You know, if you're praying, but in your back of your mind, you're wondering, you know, is God even really hearing me? You know, why would He want to listen to me? I've made so many mistakes. Why would he even care what I'm going through? You know, if God heard me, he would have fixed my problem by now. If God was really up there listening to us, then why would he let things get the way that they are? And so we have all of these questions going on in our mind. We have all of these questions that are full of doubt, right? And, of course, doubt and fear are the opposite of faith. And so we have all of these fear-based questions. We have all of these fear-based thoughts going on in our minds. And so we're wondering, we feel as if God's not listening to us, and that's the feeling that we feel like our prayers are just bouncing off the walls, like they're not getting through. And one of the other things that we have that's really important that I say here is that just because God hasn't answered your prayer about something at a certain point doesn't mean that that prayer isn't going to be answered. But a lot of times, and I've mentioned this before, and for those of you who read the free ebook that I wrote a couple months ago, The State of Your Soul, the special report that I wrote, you know, I talk about people having microwave mentality and people having an expiration date on their faith. And a lot of times we do, we have this, you know, expiration date on our faith. You know, if God hasn't done it by now, then I guess he's just not going to come through. And, you know, I'm going to be a little transparent here. I know a lot of times people, when they're teaching classes and doing different things, they're kind of guarded and they're not totally honest with everyone about things that are going on in their own lives, because it's almost like people in ministry kind of keep up a little bit of a facade, and I don't like to do that, because I think that really it's time that we just kind of start taking those masks off in the church. And I believe that once we begin doing that, people will feel more comfortable in their own skin and dealing with the things that they're going through, and they'll be able to have more faith for themselves, because a lot of times people feel like, you know, that no one else is going through anything. Everyone feels like they're the only one that's going through anything, and that God just answers everyone else's prayers in 5 days or less. and so when God hasn't answered their own prayer in that type of timing, they assume that God's not coming. I just want to just share just a little bit with you, and some of you guys know this, especially those of you who are in the School of the Spirit, you guys know me a lot better and know just a little bit more of my story and my testimony. But about 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and this is something that I had been struggling with. I mean, for like the last 6 years, I had actually been sick before that, but the doctors couldn't tell me what was wrong, and everyone was, you know, sending me from doctor to doctor, and, you know, here's this test, here's that test, here's these pills, here's those pills. And, you know, from the very beginning, I've always believed that my God is my Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I still believe that, and I still stand by that. Well, you know, fast forward 6 years of me standing on God's word and me believing God, you know, people would say, oh, well, by now you should be totally healed, and you shouldn't have not one more pain. You shouldn't have not one more day where you don't feel your best. But, you know, if I'm totally honest with you, the last probably 2 months, I have not felt my best, you know, and God's still healing me every single day. I believe that I'm getting stronger every single day. I believe that God's still working his healing power in my body. And, you know, just because I hadn't felt the way that I wanted to feel, that doesn't change who God is. That doesn't mean that God's not Jehovah Rapha just because I still wasn't feeling the way that I know is my right to feel. And I know that that's God's provision for me, and I believe that he is taking me to that place, and that I will wake up one day and I won't have any more sickness in my body and I won't be in any more pain. And I believe that because I believe that I already am healed. Jesus healed me 2,000 years ago. And so when he felt those stripes, and when they whipped him, those stripes, I was healed by those stripes, and I believe that. And what my body tries to do does not shake my faith. The way my life looks does not change God's word, because his word is more real than life's circumstances. His word is more real than anything I can feel or experience in my daily life. And so I don't say that to say, you know, well, look at me and look at my big faith. I say that because I know that there are people out there that are suffering in silence, that are going through difficult times in their lives, and they feel as if God hasn't come through for me by now, I guess he's just not coming. And I just want you to be able, I just want you to believe that everything doesn't happen instantaneously. I know that we live in this microwave society and we have this microwave right now mentality, and we don't want, people want to be able to take a pill for everything. Well, I want to lose weight, but I don't really want to work out, and I don't really want to have to cut my calories. Well, you just give me a pill so I can do it that way. Everyone wants everything fast, and we're so used to everything coming instantaneously that we've developed this microwave mentality. And so we believe that God needs to be on our schedule instead of us being on his. And so we assume that if he hasn't done things in our timing, that he just must not be, it just must not be his will. And, it's so amazing that people have those thoughts in the back of their mind. It just must not be God's will to answer my prayer. It just must not be God's will. It just must not be God's will. And so I want to, that kind of segues into question number two, and that is, he's able, but is he willing? I know that God can do anything, but how can I really have faith that he will do the things that I'm asking him to do? I think this is so key, and I'm just going to read a few scriptures that just talk about prayer. James 5 and 13, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. James 5 and 13 says, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray." Isn't that so simple? Sometimes God just makes things so simple. "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray." Why do we feel uncomfortable doing that? Well, sometimes we, depending upon what church you've gone to, sometimes we've gotten this idea that it's, we're bothering God. God's out there, fixing world hunger. He doesn't have time to answer your prayers, your little prayers. Why would he be concerned about you? And we have this little old me mentality. And that's something else I talked about in that book. I might have to send everyone a copy of that. I know not everyone has gotten it yet, so it's a free book. But I talked about little old me mentality in there as well. But, sometimes we just have this little old me mentality. Why would God come and help me? Why would God be concerned with me? And, it's so sad when you look at the very, God says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that the very Spirit of God is living inside of us. And yet, so many of us walk around with our heads hung low, thinking, why would God want to be bothered with me? And they forget that the very reason that they were created was to have an intimate relationship with a loving God. That's why you were created. You weren't created to be a workhorse. You weren't created for how much you could accomplish. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is not in your accomplishment. But your purpose is in your passion for God. It's in your relationship with God. And so if you do not have a relationship with God, you are not fulfilling your purpose, the very reason that you were created. And that's why so many people out there feel unfulfilled. And that's because the very reason they were created was to have an intimate relationship with God. And they're not fulfilling their destiny. Now, do we have other destinies that flow out of that? Yes, everyone has something else that they're called to do. But that calling flows out of that relationship with God. It does not replace it. I'm going to say that again. Every single thing that you have to do in your life should flow out of your relationship with God. And I know some of you are probably like, "Sister Mary, you say that all the time." And I know sometimes I repeat myself, but that's, I only repeat the things that I feel in my spirit God wants me to repeat. So don't get mad with me. Talk to him if you don't like what I'm saying. But, every single thing that we do needs to flow out of that relationship. And that includes our prayer life. It has to flow out of our relationship with God. Now, how does that come back to the question of, is God willing to help us? Is God willing to answer our prayer? You know, if that prayer is based on His word, and that's the issue right there. I'm going to come back to that. But if that prayer is based on His word and something He's already promised us, then all we're doing is receiving what He's already promised to us. You know, if you're praying about your finances, God has already promised to be your Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for you. So when you're praying for your finances, you are calling upon Him to do the things that He's already promised you He's going to do. When you're praying about, you know, healing for your body, He's already promised to be your Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. So all you're doing is calling upon Him to be who He's promised you He'll be in your life. And the issue is that, this is what I was saying I was going to get back to, the issue is that many of us don't know His word enough to feel comfortable in what we're asking. We don't know God's promises enough to be able to stand on them, to be able to say, this is what God has promised me, and so I believe and I'm able to stand on that. That's where your faith comes from, is that you know that you are what you're asking has already been promised to you. And, you know, when we're talking about will God answer our prayer, I'm just going to give you a quote from Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no one else better to quote. I'm reading the scripture from Mark 11:23-24. That's Mark 11:23-24, and I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. And you know, when He was talking, He wasn't just talking to the masses. He was talking to the people who knew Him. And see, that's the difference. He was talking to the people who knew Him. He was talking to His disciples, the people who knew Him. And the people who knew Him and the people that He knew. And, you know, that to me is the biggest compliment in the world, for God to be able to stand up and say that He knows you and that you know Him. And that's what we're all reaching for, right? We're all reaching to know Him and to be known by Him, to love Him and to be loved by Him. That's really our goal. And the reason that Jesus was able to say to them, you ask anything and you don't doubt it, it's going to come to pass, is because what they were going to ask, you know, when you have an intimate relationship with God, you're not going to ask anything that's crosswise to what God wants for you. You're not going to just step out and say, you know what, I want to hurt this person. You know, God, I want you to hurt that person, because you don't have that type of heart. And so we have to, for one, be willing to examine our hearts and be willing to say, you know what, when I'm praying, am I praying like a person who knows God and who is known by God? And we also have to be willing to really submit our will ultimately to the Lord. And I think a lot of times people feel like prayer and submission don't go hand in hand. They don't realize how interconnected they are. And it's really important that as we are praying, we are totally submitted to the Lord, and we do want in our hearts for His will to come first. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I still believe that God's plan for my life is greater than any plan I could ever come up with. Now, where does that belief come from? It comes from having an intimate relationship with God. When you really begin working on that relationship and you really begin getting to know Him, how do you get to know Him? You get to know Him through His word, and you get to know Him through spending time in prayer and spending time just sitting with the Holy Spirit and listening to the voice of God. That's how you get to know God. And when you invest that time getting to know Him, then you'll really begin to trust His will for your life more than you trust your own will. So when we ask ourselves, He's able, but is He willing? Is He willing to do the things I'm asking Him to do? He's willing to do exactly what's in your best interest, because God is not a selfish God. And that's one of the things that we misunderstand about him. We assume that everything that he's doing is for his own benefit. You know, we look at the Ten Commandments and we look at all those the different things that God asks of us, and we assume that all of those things are for his benefit. Oh, he's trying to restrict us. He's trying to control us. But when we look closely at everything that God asks us to do, every single thing is always for our benefit. Now, why is that? Because God is love. That is the essence of who he is. You know, the Bible tells us over and over and over again, God is love. And what does love do? Love gives, love gives, love gives. Love is not selfish. It's not self-serving. It doesn't remember wrongs. Love is selfless. And that's what God is. That is the essence of who he is. And so the things that he wants for our life are always, always, always going to be in our best interest and not in his. They're always going to be in our best interest. And so when we go to him in prayer, that's where that faith comes in. That's why we can sit back and have faith, because we realize that his heart is turned towards us. We realize how much he loves us. And so since we understand his love for us, we're able to trust him. We're able to trust him. And really, trust is really the foundation for our faith in God, right? I mean, that's really where our faith in God comes from, our trusting him, our believing that we can let go and that he'll catch us before we fall. You know, sometimes we go through different situations and they shake our faith because they make us question, where is my God? Where is he? Why hasn't he stepped in yet? But, you know, the way that I always try to remind myself to look at it, if I haven't won, the battle must not be over yet. And I want you, you know, if you're taking notes right now, which I hope you are, I really want you to write that down and use it in an I, not you or someone, but write it in the I form. If I haven't won, the battle must not be over yet. Because in the end, when it's all said and done, if you keep standing, see, that's why the Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. Because in due time, you will reap the harvest if you faint not. Because God knows that it's easy to get weary in well-doing. It's easy to get weary when you keep standing. But we have to continue to stand. And what do we stand on? We stand on the foundation of God's word. When we're praying, that is what we speak out of our mouths, God's word. And that's why it's so important that each of us take the time to dig into God's word, to see what his promises to us really are, so that we can stand on them. When the enemy comes to try to shake us up, to try to steal something from us that God has already promised to us, we're able to stand on his word. We're able to say, no, God said. I don't care what my situation looks like, because God said. You know, as I've said before, my circumstances don't change who God is. He is who he is. And he will be who he said that he would be. He does not change. His words say that he does not change. That means every single thing that he's ever done, he's still capable and willing to do. But one of the key elements that so many people miss out on in terms of prayer is praying God's word, knowing what those promises are, and standing on those promises. I'm just going to read Romans 10, 8 and 7. That's Romans 10, 8 and 7, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. For with the heart a person believes adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses and confirms his salvation. So we have to realize that we have to keep God's word in our mouth. You know, many times when negative situations are going on, it's really tempting to get that situation in our mouth. But instead of having that negative situation on the tip of our tongue, we need to have God's word on our lips and in our hearts. But how do we get that word how do we get it there? You know, God's word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever we store up in our hearts, that's what's going to come shooting out of our mouth. And yet we should be speaking God's word. The same way that we believed in our hearts and declared with our mouths, so that we could confess Jesus and enter into our salvation, that is the same way that we receive the other promises of God. We believe it in our heart, and we confess it with our mouth, and that's a part of prayer. And so that's one of the ways to build your faith up for what you're praying for. And that's something that has really helped me in so many different areas, just so many different things that my husband and I have stood on, is just saying, okay, what do we need? And you know what, if I don't know the scripture for it, then I'm just going to take the time and sit down with the concordance or sit down on Bible Gateway or wherever and search and search and search and find out, what does God have to say when in this area? What are my promises? And then I'm able to go back and sit before the Lord and say, Lord, you've promised me X, Y, and Z, and I believe those promises. I believe you more than I believe what I see with my own eyes, because that's what faith is. I believe you more than I believe what I see with my own eyes, and I'm going to stand on your word. Because remember, God's word is your sword. That is what you have to use as your spiritual sword. Your faith is your shield, and his word is your sword. Let's go ahead and look at question number 3. How much is enough? We always hear about people who can pray for hours, but how much time in prayer does God really require of us? This is such an interesting question. I actually get questions like this a lot as well, so I really wanted to talk about this today as we're talking about prayer and faith. Because really, this gets down to the question of religion versus relationship. That's really what this comes down to, religion versus relationship. You know, religion is all about checklist mentality, right? It's like, you know, you have your list of all the things that you're supposed to do, and you want to check off as many of those things as possible. And so that's your only goal. I want to check these things off, okay, you know. I have to do X, and, you know, fill in the blank with whatever you feel, you know, you always feel like you have to do. I have to do X to make me worthy. You know, I have to pray for 2 hours a day to make me worthy. I have to read the Bible for 30 minutes a day to make me worthy. And so this religion mentality, this checkbox mentality, says that my works are what make me worthy. I have to do in order to be worthy. I have to do something. And so I want to know, how much is enough? How much can I get away with? What's the least amount I can do and still be able to be okay? You know, but I have a special secret for you. Jesus already died to make you worthy. Now all you have to do is to walk in that worthiness. Jesus already died to make you worthy. You don't have to re-earn what he did on Calvary. You know, when we try to do that, when we try to earn our worthiness, when we try to pray enough to be worthy, when we try to read our Bible enough to be worthy, or spend enough time at church, we think that's going to earn us some extra brownie points with God. What are we really saying? We're really saying that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. We have to add our little icing on the cake. You know, sorry, Jesus, I know what you went through on the cross was horrific. I know how they beat you. I know how they spat on you. I know all the agony and pain that you went through. But that just wasn't enough. I just have to do my little works just to make sure that God accepts me, just to make sure that I'm worthy. And, you know, we feel this way because the enemy tries to beat us up all the time, trying to tell us that we're not worthy, trying to tell us that we're not good enough, trying to tell us that we're not acceptable to God. When the Bible says that we've been accepted in the blood, that we are, that we have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. But Satan tries to tell us that we're not. You know, it's amazing when we finally begin to walk in our liberty of what prayer is really supposed to be. Because prayer is not something that you do so that you can earn your worthiness. Now your prayer life can move beyond being a mere religious obligation to being a way that you build your relationship with God. And really, that's what prayer is. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, prayer being asking for things. But prayer is so much more than that. And that is where the power comes from. What am I talking about? The power doesn't come from you sitting begging God for something. The power comes from you sitting at the feet of the Lord, you developing a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, and you figuring out who you really are in Christ and standing on the promises that God has given you. That is how you grow in Christ, and that is where the power comes from. The power really comes from you developing your faith, but how do you develop your faith? Through developing a deeper relationship with God. Why is that so important? Because if you don't have a relationship with God, your ability to trust Him at His word, which is what faith is. Faith is you quite simply trusting God at His word. Your ability to trust Him at His word is going to be totally compromised if you don't truly know Him. And that's one of the reasons that I've spent so much time really talking about the heart of God. And talking about His love for us and talking about His desire to provide for us and to be our Jehovah Jireh and to, you know, be our Abba and to be our El Shaddai and to be all these different things. You know, God doesn't just want to be your father. He wants to be your daddy. He wants you to feel, and that's really, you know, I talk about this, those of you who are in the school, you know, you've heard me say this before, but a better translation of the word Abba isn't actually father. It's much closer to the word daddy in the way that we use the English language now. And that's what God wants to be in your life. He wants to be your daddy. He wants you to be able to trust Him, to feel safe in His arms, and to believe that He has your best interest at heart. You know, so many of us still have that picture of God as just standing up in heaven, just waiting to smite us, just waiting to throw out a lightning bolt or something, right? We still have that image of Him in our minds. And it's that image that's standing in the way of us flourishing in the Lord, of us receiving the promises of God. Because we still have that image of Him, and so therefore the relationship that we have with Him is built on fear instead of love. It's built on fear. I don't want to make God mad because he might try to teach me something, and if He tries to teach me something, then it might hurt. And we have this just messed up idea of who God really is. And prayer really, you know, if we use prayer in the way that's really meant to be used, because prayer is not just you talking. Prayer is a two-way conversation. And that's why it's so powerful in its ability to help us to develop a deep relationship with God, because it's really a two-way conversation. And that's one of the issues that a lot of people have, is that they still treat their prayer life like a one-way conversation. And so they say whatever they have to say to God, and then they just go on about the rest of their day. They never stop to see if He has anything to say back to them. right? They just say whatever they're going to say, and then they just go on about their day. Why do people do that? Because, for one, they haven't learned how to hear God's voice. And for two, a lot of times people feel like, you know, well, why would God want to talk to me? Doesn't he have bigger fish to fry? And many of us still feel so unimportant to the Lord. That's one of the things, you know, if I can really get you to believe anything, I want you to believe that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That you are a child of God. A child of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's so amazing when we really realize who we are in God, how much that changes the way that we relate to him. You know, one of the things, one of my favorite scriptures is John 15:15. That's John 15:15. And it says, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. That was Jesus talking. He said, now you are my friends. I no longer call you slaves, but now you are my friends. But sometimes people still relate to God with that slave mentality. With that, you know, master-slave mentality. And that's not what God wants. But some of us still feel that way. If we're honest with ourselves, if we really look at our prayer life and the way that we talk to God, do we talk to God like a friend, or do we talk to him more like a slave, begging for mercy from an overbearing master? How do you talk to the Lord? How do you feel when you talk to him? You know, as we were talking about before, we have to get out of the mindset that prayer is just a religious obligation, but it needs to become a means for building intimacy in our relationship with God. When our goal becomes our relationship with God, the question is no longer how much do I have to pray, but how much do I get to pray? How much can I pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We've all heard that scripture before, but sometimes we hear that scripture and we're like, well, what exactly does that mean? How do I pray without ceasing? Because a lot of times we have in our mind that prayer is just asking God for things. So we're thinking, well, how do I just sit around and ask God for things all day long? I mean, I really don't have that many things to ask him for. But really, prayer is just sitting and talking to God. You know, he is that ever-present friend so that you never have to be alone again. Some of us feel so alone in our day-to-day lives, and that is why God has sent his Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. That is why your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, because now you never have to be alone again. Now you have that friend that sticks closer than a brother, that is living inside of you, just waiting to talk with you, waiting to be a part of your everyday life. You know, God loves you so much more than any of us really realize. And one of the enemy's main things that he loves to do is to make us feel like God doesn't love us, to make us feel thrown away. And that's why sometimes we feel as if our prayers are bouncing off the walls, because we feel so small in the eyes of God. So how do we develop our faith? We have to change our perspective. We have to develop a God-like perspective. We have to get in the Word of God and find those promises. You know, it's like I always talk about, we have to stop being passive Christians, and we have to start being more active. What does that mean? We have to say, okay, you know what, I need to build my faith in this area, and I'm going to take a proactive look at this. What can I do? Well, I need to get in God's Word. I need to personally search through God's Word for myself to see what he says about this. I'm not going to wait until the pastor talks about it. I'm not going to wait until I can find a book about it. You know, maybe I'll go out and I'll look for a book about it. But I'm not just going to sit and wait for someone else to go through God's word and tell me what my daddy has to say to me, because I'm capable of reading his word and understanding it for myself. You know, God has a plan for you. And a large part of that plan is him knowing you and having a deep, abiding relationship with you. And you know, if we never develop that relationship with God, then the rest of our life really isn't going to, we're never going to be fulfilled. Wow, okay, I'm looking at the questions. And we have a lot of questions. I should have started answering questions a little bit longer ago. I didn't realize we had so many. So let's go ahead and start. I'm going to start at the bottom, start answering some of these questions. How do we get out of a spiritual slump? Wow. You know, that's a good question. I'll honestly say that I had been in a spiritual slump the last week or so. You know, and sometimes people have slumps that last longer. You know, I've been in slumps where I've felt distant from God for months. I remember one time, it was probably like a year, and I just felt like I couldn't connect. I just felt so... You know what I mean? And we've all felt that way. Let's just be honest. We've all felt so just distant from the Lord. And so how do we get out of a spiritual slump? We have to do the things that feel uncomfortable while we're in that slump. Because we all know when you're in a spiritual slump, the last thing you feel like doing is praying. The last thing you feel like doing is worshiping. The last thing you feel like doing is reading God's word, right? And the reason that is because it really is a spiritual battle that you're going through. And so you have to break through. It's almost like it's a paper wall in front of you, and it looks like it's brick, but it's really paper. And if you just take one punch at it and swing at it, you realize you can swing right through. But looking at it, it's like an illusion. Looking at it, you feel like you can't break through. You feel almost like it's almost like something's sitting on you, and you just can't. You try to wiggle a little bit, but you can't break through. And what I would say, and this is, I mean, I can only tell you what's worked for me, is to keep worshiping. I would just put on worship CDs and just go in a room by myself. You know, if you have to fast, sometimes, you know, fasting helps. And just go in a room by yourself. I don't care what you have to do to get that alone time. I don't care if it's 3 a.m, you have to set a special alarm when the kids are asleep. You have to put a priority on this. Wake up in the middle of the night, if you have to, and just go in a room by yourself and put on a worship CD and worship God until you break through, and pray and call out to God and say, Lord, I'm not going to, you know, it just reminds me of that scripture, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until I feel you. I'm not going to stop until I break through, because my relationship with God is too important for me not to keep fighting. Because it really is a fight. It's a battle. Every single day we wake up, we are on a spiritual battlefield. Every single day. Whether we want to recognize it or not. Every single day we wake up and we are battling. We're battling for our own relationship with God. We're battling for our families. We're battling for so many different things. We're battling to receive the promises of God in our own lives. Every single day. And so we have to approach it like a battle and just keep pressing and just believe as you're pressing, if I keep pressing, I'm going to break through. If I keep pressing, I'm going to break through. Because all it is a spiritual battle that you're facing. It's not that God has left you. And I want everyone to hear this. Whenever you go through a spiritual slump, it's not that God has left you. It's that sometimes... You know, a lot of times it's right before something awesome is about to happen. Satan just tries to just pull you back and just tries to get in the middle of you and God. And God's still there. But you just feel this feeling of oppression to where you can't break through. And I really do recommend fasting. I'm not going to get into a whole lesson on fasting here, but fasting is a wonderful way to get out of a spiritual slump. You know, I would do some research on fasting. I'll probably be doing a course on fasting within the next couple of months because a couple of people have asked for that. But I would just do some research online about fasting. There are also a couple very good books on prayer and fasting as well that you can find at Berean or Family Christian Bookstore. If you know that God has called you to be a writer, how do you get past the negative feedback? That's actually a pretty interesting question. We don't have a whole lot of time to, if you're online, you'll probably see that I've extended the time, but I'm not going to go the whole extra time. That's just so, our recording doesn't cut us off here. But, it's actually a pretty interesting question. I don't have time to go into a whole lot of it here, but one of the things that I would recommend is just continue to do what you believe God is called you to do, regardless of what it is, whether it's writing or singing or, you know, music or whatever it is. Continue doing what God has called you to do, regardless of the negative feedback, and God's going to create a way. He's going to open a door if that's really what he's called you to do. But, of course, continue to seek him and continue to make sure, you know, Lord, I believe this is what you called me to do. Can you please give me some type of confirmation so I make sure that I am in your will? Because, of course, your main goal is to stay in the will of God. You know, sometimes we have certain things that we want to do, but they are not necessarily God's will, and we try to convince ourselves that they are. So just, you know, go back to God and say, Lord, I really believe that this is you, but can you please confirm this? Can you send me some type of confirmation so that I know that I'm walking in the right way? And God has many ways of confirming his word. Sometimes he might just send someone else to come and tell you something that he's already said, or just many different things. But just continue to seek him about it. And just continue to stand and continue to do the things that he's called you to do. And pray and ask him for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom for ways, places to submit your writing. I know that I'm currently taking applications for people who want to write for the hem of his garment. Of course, that's a volunteer position, but it does get your writing out there. And don't just look for paid writing experiences, but even writing experiences that are going to be volunteer. That's one of the things that I did when I was trying to just get started, because that's one of the things that I believe that I'm called to do is writing. And that's one of the reasons that God had me start the website, was because he called me to write, and I didn't know how he was going to use that gift, and he had a completely different idea of what he was going to do with it than I had. I was thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to write some novel or a book, and God's idea was completely different from mine. I don't mean to talk so fast, but I'm just trying to get through some more of these questions before we close here. Someone once told me that you have to pray out loud. Is that true? I like to pray with my conscience, except when I put on my armor. Also, I always tend to start praying with myself. Do you think that is selfish? Well, I'm not sure that I totally understand your question. I can't answer the first part of the question. Someone once told me that you have to pray out loud. Is that true? You do not have to pray out loud. God can hear any prayer that you pray. But there is a lot of power in speaking the word of God and in speaking things. You know, the Bible talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue, and the power of the tongue and the power of our words. And so it is very important to speak God's word and to speak God's promises out loud. And, you know, sometimes you have to talk to the enemy and tell him to get behind me in the name of Jesus, just like, you know, Jesus did, get behind me, Satan. So sometimes you have to speak out because Satan can't hear what's in your mind, what's in your head. So when you speak out and, you know, talk to him or stand your ground, that is a lot more powerful than when you're just doing it in your mind. But yes, you can. You can pray silently or you can pray out loud. God is powerful enough to hear you either way. Rose had a comment that she wanted to make. I have a comment concerning prayer. Jesus taught us to pray that God's will be done. That means seeking God's purposes instead of seeking a new car or a passing grade or a fast-track promotion or a miraculous sign. Jesus didn't promise earthly bliss in 30 days or less. Jesus' promises are for those who abide in him, who put themselves at his service and draw their love from his. That is so beautifully said, and that's really one of the things that I really wanted everyone to get out of tonight's class. And I know a lot of times people come, I'm actually going to stop right there because I think that that is a great place to stop because we've already gone over. But I think a lot of times when people come to a class on prayer, they want to know, okay, you're going to teach me how to get everything I want from God. I just want to learn how to get everything I want from God. And we have to realize that our goal should not be our will. But Jesus, I mean, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When we think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, goodness, I can pronounce it. But when he was in that garden, he knew what was ahead of him. He knew that he was going to have to go to that cross, and he did not want to do it. He knew what was in front of him, and his flesh was beginning to react, and he was getting scared, and he was getting panicked, and he was crying. But what was his final prayer? Lord, I know you can take this away from me because you can do anything, but not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. I mean, that is a surrendered heart. When you know that ultimately God's will is going to be, because what was God's will? God's will wasn't just to leave him there. God, hallelujah, Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. And it was the power that was unleashed when he rose up from that dead, and that resurrection was our resurrection in him. Because Jesus knew that the Father's ultimate will was going to be better for him than anything that he could want at that moment. Because right then he was still, you know, he was fighting. His emotions were flaring up. He was fighting, but he knew that he trusted God at that moment in time. He trusted his Heavenly Father. And, you know, I'm not going to go into a talk about the Trinity and the Godhead and the different aspects of God. But Jesus put his faith in Abba. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And that is really the essence of when we were talking about the beginning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, we have to examine our hearts. We have to examine our hearts, and I'm going to stop there because I know I'm going a little bit over, and I always try not to go long because I know that we all have different things that we have to get to, and it's getting late in the evening depending on what part of the world you're in. It might be early in the morning for some of you. Praise God for those of you who are here and woke up at 3 in the morning at different parts of the world to come and learn of God. But let's just go ahead and close out in prayer. Lord, we love you, and we want to have a seek ye first the kingdom attitude. Help us to examine our own hearts, Lord, so that we can begin to seek first your will and not our own. Lord, help us to seek you more than we seek the things of this world. Help us to know that we know that we know that your will for us is better than any will we could ever try to create for ourselves. Help us to surrender to you. Help us to seek knowing you more. Lord, no matter how much we know you, we know that we can know you more. And we know that our goal in prayer should not be tangible things, but a relationship with you, an intimate relationship with you. Lord, help each of us personally walk down that path to a relationship with you that is unshakable, that becomes the foundation for everything else that we do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Someone also asked, and I just want to say this really quick, how do you develop an intimate relationship with God? If you go to the Hem of His Garment Bible Study website, I have a four-part audio series on developing a relationship with God, and that is a free audio series. So if you have not gotten your free audio series, make sure you go to the website and sign up to get your free audio series. It's totally free, no strings attached or anything like that, but it is, I think it's either a four-part or a five-part series, and it teaches you how to have a relationship with God. So if you have not gotten that yet, please, please, please go to the website and go ahead and get that and download that and just start going through it. I've gotten so many emails and responses from people saying that it just totally blessed them and transformed their relationship with God. So I really believe that God can use that and use the things that He revealed through that series to help you develop a deeper relationship with God. If you still feel like you're, really for anyone, no matter where your relationship with God is, if you haven't gotten that series, as I said, it's, if you go to the Hem of His Garments main website, there's actually a link on there for the free four-part audio series, and just go ahead and download that. So with that, I thank you so much for coming out and being with me. We had record numbers tonight, hallelujah. If you have friends that you believe would be blessed by this, then just go ahead and pass along the Hem's website and tell them to come and join us. It's totally free, and I know that a lot of people really enjoy it. Also, if you enjoyed tonight's class, then please go to the feedback website and share your thoughts about the class. So have a great day and God bless.